Romans chapter 1. Talks about how they've left that natural effect. Amen. Well, you wonder why so-called mothers are putting their babies in ovens and doing the ungodly things they're doing. They've lost that natural affection. But you'll never love till you know the love of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Paul has given an account. He's given an inventory, personal inventory, in the first verses of this chapter. And he talks about how if anybody could have confidence in the flesh, he could. He said, I circumcised the eighth day of the law, a Pharisee, gave in a sense an inventory of how that he, if anybody could boast about it, he could. But he said, I have no confidence in the flesh, and I count all these things, all the head knowledge. I sat at the feet of Gamaliel, and I learned all these things, but none of that compares to the ecstasy of knowing Jesus Christ, my Savior. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I've heard them talk about the old preachers couldn't read their name. Boxcar letters. And I've met some older preachers. They passed off the scene and they couldn't read very well. Brother Rube Berry, he preached for years. The first message camp meeting down at Calvary. And they tell me that at first he couldn't even read. And his daughter would go to his house and read to him. And I'm not advocating it. This man at one time he couldn't read. But he pushed himself till he could read. And he pushed himself to read the Word of God. To learn more about Jesus. Praise God. And he'd get up on Monday morning to camp meeting. And he wasn't what you'd call an eloquent speaker. But he'd get up with the power of God on him. Yeah. Amen. And folk could take note that he had been with Jesus. Amen. Amen. The disciples one time, they had perceived they were ignorant and unlearned. They took note they'd been with Jesus. Amen. It'll tell off on you. Amen. I'd rather talk to somebody that knows him. Amen. Than could quote all the books ever written. Amen. But this is an intimate knowledge. You don't gain this knowledge by reading a book. Amen. But you gain it by the revelation that comes off the pages of the only true book, and that is the Word of God. It's not something you conjure up in your mind. It's not something you dream about. Amen. But it's revealed. Amen. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen. Amen. Praise God. It's an intimate. Amen. It's personal. I must know Him for myself. Amen. You must know Him for yourself. Amen. You'll not get to heaven, amen, by any other means than knowing the Lord Jesus yourself. And knowing Him not in a head knowledge or in a learning way that you read a book or you consent to a set of facts, but with the heart. That's where we get that word intimate. It's from the heart. Amen. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness. And then the mouth confesses salvation. And from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Amen. You can't tell. You remember that time to him and Peter. He said to his disciples, he said to who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Peter said, some say, or they answered to him and said, some say Elias, Jeremiah, and one of the prophets. Then he got personal with him. He said, who do you say that I am? Right. Amen. Yeah. And Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, flesh and blood. He said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. He said, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this to you. Amen. I can tell you about Christ. Amen. But I cannot put that knowledge in you. That's put in you by the Holy Ghost of God. He said, flesh and blood hath not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. It's an intimate knowledge. Yes. Amen. Amen. Now before, when he gives this inventory, he is speaking of himself as Saul, Tarsus, that one that persecuted the church and had a zeal. Yeah. There are a lot of folks with zeal. Amen. Amen. But there's a difference in this world's zeal and a zeal for Christ. Yes. Amen. And he said, all that is lost. Yeah. He said, that's gone. That never did help me. Well, he said, but let me tell you what helped me. Yeah. Amen. It's when I met the Savior. Amen. Amen. On the road to Damascus. And he overhauled me. Amen. And I was Saul then, but he made me Paul. And I'm now an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm now doing His will. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. We need to let the the world shame us if we don't have, amen, that higher learning as they flaunt. Amen. That's the Bible talked about how they're ever learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Amen. They think they're getting brighter, but they're getting dumber and dumber. Amen. For the beginning, bless His holy name. Amen. For the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. Amen. Bless His good name. That's what's still holding this together. If intellect could do it, Washington's full of that. Amen. And it'd have got the job done, but intellect won't get the job done. But an intimate, personal, amen, knowledge of the Lord Jesus will get the job done. Amen. And Paul talks about this intimate knowledge, this personal knowledge. Amen. I know Him for myself. Amen. Not what somebody else has told me about Him. Amen. That's why the Ethiopian eunuch needed a man to preach the gospel to him, so he can know the man of the gospel.
Amen.
Amen. But it's an intimate knowledge. And then I see it's an intelligent knowledge.
Yeah.
Now, the world would look down on us here at Antioch and say, well, they're a bunch that cling to their religion and their guns. That's what they talk about, real true Christians. Now, you can say God, and you can maybe mention something like that, but when you get personal about it, and you say the Lord Jesus. Now, every time that Paul said anything in regard to Jesus, he always said Jesus Christ Lord, or Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He always put, he always put that together. Amen. Some would say that you make Him your Savior and then down the road you make Him your Lord. You have to bow to His Lordship.
Amen.
Just as Paul did on the road to Damascus.
Amen.
He fell in the dirt and he said, my Lord. Amen.
Amen.
But it's an intelligent, amen, knowledge. It's intelligent. Amen. Some of the most intelligent people I've ever met. Well, the most intelligent people I've ever met are those that know Jesus.
Amen.
They may have not had much of this world's goods. They might not have had two nickels to rub together. Amen. They may have drove that rough, beat-up car. Amen. They may have lived in a shack of a shanty. Amen. But if they knew Jesus, amen, that makes a difference, folks. It's not if. That's what's wrong with this church world. They look at the riches a man has and says that's how you get there. But it's hard for a rich man to enter in.
Amen.
Amen. You look at this Laodicean church age where they're increased with goods and riches and they think they're in need of nothing. He said, you need to go back to the marketplace and buy of me gold tried in the fire. Amen. That's that precious knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Knowing Him. Knowing Him as your Savior and as your Lord. Amen. But it's an intelligent knowledge. Amen. Bless His good name. It knows when you know the Lord Jesus, He reveals to you Himself through the Word. He gives you a knowledge of His sovereignty. Amen. You cannot be saved by the God of heaven and question or doubt or dispute His sovereignty.
Amen.
If a man's going to get anything out of God, he must believe that He is. And He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Amen. And the biggest problem the lost world has in this world is with Genesis 1 and 1. For in the beginning, God did it. God stepped out of eternity into this time world. Amen. And made everything that is made, and nothing was made that He didn't make it.
Amen.
That settles it. Whether you accept it or believe it or not, He's God, and beside Him there is none other. Amen. He is God.
I said he is God.
Amen. Amen. One place he said that God said he looked around and he didn't see another. Amen. There's nobody else to compare to him. Amen. When this man that we're preaching about, Paul, come in to that place at Athens and went up to Mars Hill, and they had all those statues to different gods. Got down to that last one and it said to the unknown God. He said, that's the one I want to declare to you. Amen. That's the one, that's him who you need to know. Amen. Glory to God. But the knowledge of him and knowing him, it reveals to you his sovereignty. That beside him there is nobody else except the Lord. It reveals his nature. He was 100% man, 100% God, 100% of the time. Amen. You see him in the Garden of Gethsemane. He goes there and he begins to pray. And that human part of him says, Father, if there be another way, let this cup pass. That's that human part. But then that divine nature. Amen. That's that divine nature that we have if we're saved. That's the Holy Ghost. That says, nevertheless, thy will be done. Amen. And it reveals his natures, reveals his offices. The Son of Man, the man, that human part, the Son of God. Emmanuel, God with us. Christ, the anointed of God. Jesus, Savior. Thou shalt call his name Jesus because he'll save his people from their sin. Reveals him as Lord. He's not coming back to be Lord, he's already Lord.
Amen.
Amen. And it reveals to you that he is King and he is Master. Amen. If he's not your master, you're in trouble this. If he's not your Lord, you're in trouble this morning. But you can come to him and get out of that trouble. Amen. But it reveals these things because it's an intelligent knowledge. It reveals his attributes, his love. God is love. It reveals his peace, that he is peace. He's the Prince of Peace, by the way. Amen. Joy, unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. That's why that Paul said, I would rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ might abide on me. A lot of folks gripe about their infirmities. Paul said, I'm going to glory in my infirmities. The hardships of this life, the problems in this life. Man, born a woman is but few days and full of trouble. Through much tribulation do we enter in. Amen. But we don't have it half as bad as Paul did. I'll say that. Amen. But let me say this. If we want the power of Christ to rest on us, we've got to glory in those hardships and those infirmities. Instead of wringing our hands all the time and saying, woe is me, woe is me. Keep on marching on for him. Amen. Heard Brother Claytus say one time, said he's telling, there's a crowd of preachers up on the front bench and he's a preaching to all of us and told us, said, wear this body out for the Lord. The sooner you wear it out, the sooner you'll get a new one, amen. That'll last forever. Bless his good name. But it's an intelligent knowledge. It reveals his works, why he came. A lot of folks, they'll wear them wristbands and all that garb that says, what would Jesus do? And they don't even know what he did. Yes, he healed the sick, raised the dead, gave sight to the blind and hearing to the deaf. But he didn't come on a healing crusade for our physical ailment. But he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Amen. That's why he came, to save us from our sins. For sin was carrying us down and would have kept us captive forever. But he came that we might not have to die. He tasted death for all men. Amen. Bless his good name. But his works. It reveals his works. This is the intelligent knowledge of Christ. Why he came. A lot of people. And Jesus warned of this. He said there's going to come a day. Folks are going to rise up and say he's over here. He's over there. And I am the Christ and all. He said don't go after that mess. Amen. In fact, Paul said it's a good thing that the heart be established. Amen. On the truths of God. Not on meats and things are tangible things, but those things that are unseen, amen, settle your heart on those things. It's an intelligent knowledge. His works. to redeem the fallen. You remember one time the disciples and him were headed towards Samaria, and he told his disciples he was hungry. And Philip said, he asked him what he had and didn't have nothing. And they said, well, we'll go into town and we'll buy some food.
Yeah.
And we'll meet you back here in a little bit. And right. When they found him, the Lord was doing the will of the Father.
Yeah.
Amen. And there he was at that well in a discourse with the Samaritan woman that had five husbands.
Yeah.
And now living with a man that wasn't her husband.
Yeah.
And as Brother Raymond Cook once said, she met a man that fixed all her man troubles.
Amen.
Bless his good name. But when they got done with that, and they was off to themselves and him and the disciples, and they seemed a bit confused and said, Lord, said you was hungry just a little bit ago, and now you're not hungry.
Yeah.
And he said, but I have meat you know not of.
Yeah.
Amen. And that meat was to do the Father's will. That's what he came for.
Yeah.
Amen. And he came to his own, and his own received him not, but he was still the Christ and still is the Christ. He was in the world, and the worlds that he made, and the world knew him not.
Amen.
He's still Christ, still Jesus, still Lord. His works, amen. It reveals his shame. Now Paul said that I may know him in the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering. Everybody likes that first part. Nobody wants to be in fellowship with his sufferings. They want to be in relationship with him in salvation. But they don't want to suffer with him. But those that suffer with him shall reign with him. Amen. Amen. So if you want to reign with Christ, you're going to have to suffer with Christ. And Christianity is not something you can just tuck away and pull out in times of convenience. You either are or you ain't. That's good English, ain't it?
Yes.
Ain't it?
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
But it reveals his shame. Well, what was his shame? We look at the shame of Christ and we talk about him dying on the cross and we talk about them spitting on him and mocking him and laughing at him and all these things, and we say it with such distance and disconnect as though there's, you know, we don't put ourselves there. But Paul said, I want to put myself there.
Yes.
I want a fellowship with those sufferings that he went through.
Yes.
Here's the darling Son of God that knew nothing but glory and holiness and perfectness, and he comes down and wraps himself in the flesh of you and I. Yes. He don't bear up under our sins, but he becomes our sin. He that knew no sin,
yes,
became sin, that you and I might be made the righteousness of God. He that was rich became poor, that through his poverty, you and I might have two cars and a two-story house and a big bank account. No, sirree. But that you and I might be rich towards God.
Amen.
Amen. A man should gain the whole world but lose his own soul. What would it profit him?
Amen.
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 I've heard it said. I'll repeat it. I've never seen a trailer hitch on the back of the hearse. You can't carry it with you. Amen. The only hope you've got, amen, is knowing. Do you know my Savior this morning? Do you really know Him from the heart? Amen. Do you know Him? The Word reveals these things, these attributes. It reveals His glory. When He came the first time, they rejected Him mostly because of the fact that He didn't come with a bunch of pomp and pride and the red carpet rolled out. But He's born in a lowly manger. Amen. His first coming, as they looked at it, was not in enough style. The Bible tells us that he died the death of the cross, despised that shame. But on that third morning, that resurrection morning, his glory was revealed. He said, because I live, ye shall live also. And I am the resurrection. I'm not just going to be resurrected, but I am the resurrection. The old black preacher said when he called, he hadn't called Lazarus by name, every grave in that country to give up the dead.
Yeah.
Amen. That's how much power he's got.
Amen.
Amen. And that glory was not really that seen, but just by his disciples and those that he revealed himself to. But there's a second coming, the second advent of Christ. When he comes again, And I'm not trying to split hairs with nobody, but I'll say this about that matter. When he comes, he's coming in all his glory. Amen. He's coming with all his glory. Amen. Not as a lamb to be slain, but as a lion of the tribe of Judah. And he's coming in his glory. Amen. Praise God. Ha ha. Ha ha. Amen. And that's why Paul said that I may know him in the power of his resurrection. Paul is in the graveyard somewhere, planted. Not buried, but planted. Those that have died in the Lord have not been buried, but they've been planted. Because they're coming up one day. That's what Thessalonians tell us. Somebody said, I don't believe that. Well, you don't believe the word of God then. The dead in Christ shall what? Raise first. They shall rise first. They're getting up out of the graves. Amen.
Amen.
Those of us, if we be alive at his coming, amen, will not hinder those that are asleep. But they're getting up, and then we're being changed, and we're going to meet them and him in the air. Amen. That's his glory. Amen. That's what he come to do, to redeem, to buy back, to sanctify, set apart to himself. He created man in happiness and holiness in the garden, and man disobeyed God, and because of that sin, that disobedience, there was a separation. He come to right that wrong. Amen. And take the hand of man and the hand of God and put them together. Amen. And one blessed day, he's going to deliver us from this old sinful, vile body that holds us back so much of the time. Amen. And we're going to have a new glorified body. That's why we ought to be rejoicing this morning. Amen. Because of what God has in store for his people. Amen. And lastly, and I'll close. Been long-winded. There's a lot of good right there. And that's why I'm closing on this. His knowledge is endless. You'll never find the bottom to it. You'll never find the top to it. Amen? And it's eternal. It's forever. And it's ongoing. What makes it so great, the more I learn about it, it excites me to learn more.
Yeah.
I worry about folks that get just a little touch of knowledge of God and they back off.
Yeah.
You ought to look every day for an experience with God.
Yeah.
Amen? Learn me something today, Lord.
Yeah.
Y'all old-timers know what that means. Learn me something. Amen.
Learn
me something, Lord. Teach me. Make me pliable now. Sanctify me unto thyself. Yes, I believe exactly what you said this morning in Sunday school. Amen. I was saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost when I got saved. But since that time, he is setting me apart daily unto himself.
Amen.
And the more I learn about him, the more I want to learn about him. The more I want to know about him. Amen. That's why Paul said, this is excellent. Amen. And that word excellent means superior.
Yeah.
Above all. Amen. There's not something out there that is even. Even as much as even with the knowledge of Christ.
Amen.
Everything else is way down here. And that's why he called it excellent. Do you know him this morning? While they stand, while we're standing and the dimmer's coming with a song, coming to the instrument. Do you know him? Not know about him. Read about him. Consented to a set of facts in your head. But do you know him intimately? With this, the heart. Do you know him this morning? You can. If you don't, if you do know him, you're rejoicing. Amen. That's what this knowledge puts the joy, puts a spring in your step. Amen. Puts joy in your heart. Troubles will come, problems will come. You know, and if anyone had them, Paul did. Whenever he went to a place to preach, he didn't go check in at the Hilton or the Hampton.
No.
But he went and checked in at the local jail.
Yeah.
Said, might as well sign my name on the reservation book. I'll be back here in a little bit.
Yeah.
Amen. And he went and preached the gospel.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, he did.
But he said, I'll just glory in this. Because when I am in this, these infirmities, these problems, then Christ, his power and the knowledge of knowing him is greater than it's ever been.
Yeah.
Amen. Do you know him this morning? Would you come to know him if you don't? If you do know him, you want to know him more. Amen. James tells us if a man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth liberally and abradeth not. He'll not chastise you. He'll not whip you for asking. You know, sometimes our kids ask us for things and we say no. We'll chide them. We'll rebuke them. If you're lacking in wisdom and that wisdom is knowing more about him, you ask of him, He'll not chide you. He'll not rebuke you for asking. In fact, He welcomes that. He'll just give it to you liberally. Amen. While we sing.